this is Bob Delaney welcoming you to another game in the 14th straight year of Yankee baseball as brought to you by Allen. Allen, Phil Rizzuto, Red Barber are all set to bring it your way. This broadcast, like all Yankee broadcasts, comes to you by courtesy of P. Ballantyne & Sons and the Atlantic Refining Company and your neighborhood Atlantic dealer in cooperation with Sports Network and by authority of the Yankees. A look at the field tells us it won't be long before the cry of play ball, but you've still got time to get yourself a tall, foaming glass of the crisp refresher, Ballantyne Beer. You know, Ballantyne's the light beer with a true lager flavor, and that's what makes it the crisp refresher. No wonder Ballantyne's the largest selling beer in the East. And now, shortly, we'll have the starting lineup for you, so settle back and enjoy baseball and Ballantyne Beer, the crisp refresher.
Frank Dumont bummed Al Lopez in a game at Yankee Stadium recently. And we were talking to Al in the dugout a little while ago. He said he's been bummed out of one game since. He said, though, in that particular instance, he was sitting on the bench. Somebody hollered out the umpire, and the umpire hollered back into the bench, and several of them were hollering at the umpire. It turned out the umpire had warned Lopez to keep quiet. So Al kept hollering, and he got the thumb. He went out and asked him what happened without any fiery display of any kind. And that's when he found out the umpire had warned him. It is a clear but cool evening in Chicago. It rained during the night here, and the afternoon, though, a very pleasant one, and sun's out nice and bright. Yet the temperature tonight has gone down to about 60 degrees, 64 degrees, something along. Is 64 now? The White Sox break out of their dugout and take the field. National Anthem. Walking out to the mound. Billy making his 12th appearance of the year, has won 5 games and lost 2. It'll be his 3rd start against the Yankees. He was not involved in the White Sox, however, won both of those games. Staley, in relief, in both instances, was returned the victory. Pierce worked against the Yankees June 6th and worked 7 innings, allowed 8 hits, and just 1 run. The White Sox went on to win it 3-2. In his last start on June the 11th, Pierce beat the Red Sox 8-4, beat Jerry Casale. And so we're all set to go with Bobby Richardson, Hector Lopez, and Mickey Mantle coming up. The Yankees will be home on Monday night, the 27th of June, with the Los Angeles Dodgers for the benefit of Sandlot Baseball. Then Kansas City will be there Tuesday night, the 28th, Wednesday and Thursday afternoons, the 29th and 30th, with the Tigers in for the weekend of Friday night, July 1st, Saturday afternoon, the 2nd, which is a ladies' day, and a doubleheader on Sunday, the third. Bobby Richardson steps in a hitting position. Bobby batting 207. Billy Pierce into the windup, and the first pitch of the ball game. Curveball over, strike one. Nothing in one count. The one strike delivery on its way to the right hand batter. Swung on, a ground ball hits to short. Up with it is Aparicio to throw to first in time. And there's one away. Bobby Richardson grounding out short to first. Aparicio to Seavers. Now Hector Lopez. Batting 311. He's had 3 for 14 in his last 3 games. The pitch to Lopez is low and inside for a ball. One ball, no strikes. Outfield playing straight away. Minosa in left, Landis in center, and Smith in right. Pierce delivers to Hector, who swings and fouls it back. Tried to time a let-up curve. Frank Frassetti coaching at third, Ralph House at first. Priest at third, Aparicio short, Fox second, Seavers first, and Lawler catching. Now the pitch. Fastball is high. A 2-1 count on Lopez. Billy Pierce starts the windup. In comes the pitch. High for ball three. 3-1. Another fastball. Good crowd out tonight. White Sox have won 2 in a row. The Yankees had a 7-game winning snap last night. The A's beat them for the first time this season. Now the 3-1 pitch on its way to Hector Lopez. Swung on, hits the third. Line drive. Priest grabbed it for the out. We had to wait for Charlie Berry. Went up with a hand to indicate that he had caught the liner. Priest threw on over to first anyway, but it was not necessary. Two down, and here's Mickey Mantle. Mantle hitting 258. 2 men away in the first inning. Here's into the windup, and the pitch to Mickey. Curveball is swung on. It's a high fly ball in the left center. Manny Minosa moves over on it and makes the catch, and the side's retired. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left on. At the end of the first half, the first inning, New York nothing, and Chicago coming to bat. And in the last, the first, it'll be Aparicio, Fox, and Minosa coming up against Art Dittmar. Now, use your imagination for a minute with us, if you will. Let's say you've been to a ball game. On your way home, you pass a friendly tavern, and you say, think I'll have myself a beer. Pretty good idea, but before you do, remember this. To really refresh you, a beer must offer lightness plus flavor. Well, when you stop off, what do? You make the 3-ring sign. We sure hope you do anyway. And so you best ask the man for Valentine's. And that's where a game of imagination ends, because once you order the Crisp Refresher, you're in for real, honest-to-goodness beer-drinking pleasure. That's because Valentine gives you both lightness and flavor. It's the light beer with true lager flavor. That's why folks call it the Crisp Refresher. So after the game or any time, ask the man for Valentine. Enjoy the Crisp Refresher. Remember, from Maine to Florida, Valentine is the largest selling beer in the East. Louis Aparicio steps up. He's had 5 out of his last 14, a 357 average, while hitting overall on the season 258. Cleet Boyer shortens up at third. Art Dittmar ready to work. The right-hander has a record of 4-3. His pitch is in there for strike. Dittmar's 13th appearance. Five of which have been in relief roles. He beat the Indians 4-3 in his last start, June the 10th. The one strike pitch. It's high, ball one. Art started against the White Sox on May 8th. A game that the White Sox won in extra innings, and Fred Kipp, then with the Yankees, is charged with the defeat. The 1-1 pitch, curveball outside. Ball two, 2-1. Next delivery, swung on, hit the third on a hop. Boyer throws on over to Scarron, and Aparicio is retired. Third to first. Now Nelson Fox, hitting .274, had three for his last 12. Art Dittmar from Springfield, Massachusetts. Also claimed by Fitzfield. 6-foot-2 right-hander gets the sign, swings for the windup, and the pitch. In there for a strike. Nothing in one. Boyer shortens up at third. The delivery changeup is looped foul to the left of the plate, out of play. Strike two, nothing in two. Tony Cuccinello coaching at third, and at first base, Don Gutteridge. Lopez in left, Mantle in center, Maris in right. Boyer third, Kubek short, Richardson second, Scarron first. Howard catching, Dittmar pitching, and Nelson Fox pitched high and inside for ball 1-2. Crowded him with a fastball. Here's the 1-2 delivery. Fox swings and grounds it foul down the first baseline. Bob Turley will be pitching tomorrow afternoon against Early Wynn. One ball, two strikes. Here's the pitch to Fox. He swings and grounds it. A great backhand shot by Boyer, and the throw in time for the out. He had a hard grounder down the third baseline. Boyer broke to his right, backhanded it, and took a possible two-base hit away from Nelson. Now Minnie Minoso. He's batting .310 on the season. Dittmar's delivery, low outside for the ball. One ball, no strikes. Here's the pitch to the right-hand batter. Swung on, the bat goes flying down third base. The 1-1 count. Then he took a real good cut at the ball. That went flying out of his hand all the way down to the third base coach's box. 1-1 the count on Minoso. Dittmar ready. Swings into the windup, in comes the pitch. Changeup is hit to third. Up with it is Boyer, the throw to first in time. There's a hard smash. Handcuffed him for a moment. No, end of the first inning. New York nothing and Chicago nothing. Looking now at the scoreboard in the American League, the Red Sox lead the Indians 3-1 at the end of four innings. Sullivan against Hawkins. Ted Williams hit his 500th Major League homer in the third inning with one aboard. He joins a select list. Mel Ott hit 511 in his Major League career. Jimmy Fox, 534. And the Babe, of course, 714. Baltimore, Detroit. It'll be Jerry Walker against Frank Larry. Washington, Kansas City, no report. In the National League, Chicago, Cincinnati, Drabowski, and Newcomb will be the pitchers. St. Louis and Milwaukee, Klein and Brunette, no report on the two coast games. In the first half of the second inning, Roger Maris leads off for New York, Elston Howard on deck, and Bill Scowen to follow. That he thought his team now is about to get straightened out and ready to make its move. And of course, this is a crucial series for both teams. Billy Pierce delivers to Roger Maris, low outside for a ball. Maris hitting 346. Pierce delivers, low ball two, 2-0. Smith is playing over toward the right field line. Land is shaded a little to right center. Minosa well over toward left center. The 2-0 pitch on its way. Jim there, strike one, good one. Two balls, one strike. Here's to the windup. Here's the pitch, and Maris swings and misses. Strike two, 2-2. Now the 2-2 delivery on its way. Swung on and fouled back out of play in the upper deck. Kirsten Lawler, the battery for the White Sox. The 2-2 pitch. Swung on, there's a liner into deep center. Landis gets back and makes the catch at the running track. 400 feet away from home plate. Made him hit straight away. One away. Now coming up is Elston Howard hitting 267. Maris got real good win on the ball, but hit it straight away right at Landis. They had to go back a bit. Elston up there, that's Fred Stamps. Pierce's overhand pitch is in there. Strike one, fastball. Outfield plays him straight away. Ellie has got good power pulling and good power hitting the opposite field. Pierce's pitch swung on, lined in the left center field, and it's in there for a base hit. Beautifully cut off by Landis to hold it to a single. He utilized his speed beautifully, raced into the gap to make a glove hand pick up of the ball. Looked like a sure two-base hit at least when it started out. And there you have a prime example of the importance of speed utilized for defensive purposes, preventing a runner from getting in the scoring position. And now coming to bat is Bill Scarron, hitting 296. One out, one on. Billy Pierce to the stretch. The delivery in there. Strike one. In this game, a step, an inch can make all the difference in a ball game. Pierce's delivery up high. Fastball. Count one and one. Gene Freeze well over toward the third baseline. Aparicio way over into the third base hole. Fox shaded towards second. Seavers stepped in behind Howard. First ready. And the pitch. Inside, up around the shoulders. 2-1 count. Moose is the same kind of a hitter as Howard in the sense that both have good power to all fields. Two on the count. And the delivery. It's inside for ball three. 3-1. Sharon steps out, has a look at Cassetti. Beats any play on here. Sometimes the manager will order a take sign, but Moose probably will be swinging if he likes it. In other words, he's on his own. The stretch, the check to the runner, and the pitch. Swung on, it's a high fly ball into short left. Minosa comes spread easing in and makes the catch. That ball is way up into the air. Two down. And here's Priest Boyer batting 224. No score, second inning. Al Lopez now is moving Manny Minosa over towards the left field line a little more, playing him way over to the line, and he's trying to get Landis to move a little more to left center. Check of Howard. Here's the pitch to Boyer. He swings and there's a drive down to deep left field, and that ball is going down into the left field seat for a home run for Sweet Boyer. And down in the Yankee dugout, of course they have these rockets here, you know, that go off, and the Yankees are there lighting sparklers. The Yankees are lighting sparklers in the dugout to greet Boyer. They've got your own fireworks. There's Casey Stengel, and all of them have got sparklers in the dugout. And the crowd's giving them a hand. They lit sparklers in the dugout, and they're really going. And listen to the crowd. They're getting some applause. Casey walking around with his sparklers, moving around and about. You know, they have the rockets here on the scoreboard. When the home team hits a homer, those rockets go off and the fireworks, and they light up like a pinball machine. Here now is Tony Kubek. Takes it outside for a ball. So the Yankees injected just a touch of humor into the situation. They have the sparklers ready. Now the pitch to Kubek. It's low for a ball. Two balls, no strikes. Fans got a kick out of it, and in good sportsmanlike manner, they applauded the stunt. Here's the pitch. Tony takes the strike. 2-1. He almost didn't get the sparklers lit in time, though. Now the delivery. Swung on, hits back over the pitcher's box out to short. Barehanded, kept by Aparicio, failed. Couldn't pick the ball up, and Kubek is safe. And scored as a base hit. Art Dittmar will be coming up. Sweet Boyer getting his second homer, driving in his ninth and tenth runs. For those who may not have known, Bill Beck on the scoreboard has set up some rocket-like appurtenances. And when a member of the home team hits a homer, the fireworks go off, and the whole scoreboard lights up just like a pinball machine will when you hit. But never for the visiting team. So just for a gag, the Yankees had some sparklers ready in the event one of them hit a homer. In Chicago, they were very sportsmanlike about it. Dittmar fouled it off, recognizing the humor involved, and they got a big buzz out of it and applauded. You know, they should have taken it the other way and booed, but they didn't. Here's the pitch to Dittmar. Swings and misses.
always good to have a sense of humor in the midst of tense, intense competition. Pierce delivers to Dittmar, and it's low for a ball, 1-2. That was funny. Here's the pitch, swung on and fouled off. You could have seen Casey. He grabbed his Parker. He's having a great time. It probably would have had greater effect had a member of the White Sox hit a homer first and that thing gone off, and then this happened. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed, strike three. Sides retired. For New York, two runs, three hits, and no errors, one man left on. And at the end of an inning and a half, the Yankees 2, the White Sox nothing.
Rival is golden, crystal is clear, the crispy pressure. Sound on Valentine's. Hey, catch a cold beer. Hey, catch a Valentine. Hey, catch a cold, cold beer. Catch a ice cold Valentine's. Hey, catch a ice cold Valentine's.
It's the last half of the second inning. Roy Seavers hitting fourth in the order, leads off. Gene Freese on deck, and Al Smith to follow. Now, after the little Parker incident, if a White Sox player hits a homer, they're really going to roar out here. Art Dittmar ready to work. Here's the pitch. Low outside for a ball. Seavers had four out of his last eight at bat. The pitch outside. And two of his four hits have been homers. Outfield, of course, plays him to pull in center and left. Maris is a little bit off the straightaway right. Boyer right on top of that third baseline. Kubek way over. Dittmar's pitch in there for a strike. 2-1. The 2-1 pitch misses the outside corner. Ball three. 3-1. A 3-1 count on Roy Seavers. Now the 3-1 pitch. High for ball four, and Seavers walks to open the last of the second. That brings to the plate Gene Freese, batting 268. Freese has had six hits in his last 12 times at bat. Dittmar to the stretch, and the pitch. Swung on, missed, strike one. Freese took a good cut. Got out in front too quickly. Nothing in one. Dittmar checks Seavers. Here's the pitch. Curveball outside. 1-1. Dittmar's next pitch is bunted foul. The rest of the plate, strike two, 1-2. Gene was bunting for a base hit. He had Boyer back deep.
A 1-2 count. You know, we have really run into extremes in weather on this trip so far, Kansas City, Chicago, from about 85 down to about 50. It's been going back and forth that way. One ball, two strikes. And the pitch is swung on, a ground ball hits the Kubek, over to Richardson for one, back to first, too late. Fourth out at second. Kubek to Richardson. Freese has good speed. Easily beat the relay to first. The ball is not too hard hit. One on, one out, and the batter is Al Smith, hitting 316. Smitty's had four hits in his last 13 at bat. Right hand hitter. Gene Freese on first, one out. Dittmar's pitch swung on, fouled off, back to first out of play. Nothing in one to count on Al Smith. Sherman Lawler on deck. They give Smitty a lot of room in right center. Freese leads away from first. As the pitch swung on and lined out into left center for a base hit, Lopez takes the ball. Freese stops at second. The throw goes back to Kubek. Smith gets the first hit off Dittmar, a single to left center. And here now is Sherman Lawler, batting 271. On second, Smith on first, and one out. Yanks two, Sox nothing, last of the second. Art Dittmar to his stretch. There goes the Freese to third. The ball gets to Furrier. Oh, steps on third for one. Throws to first high, but in time. With the runners breaking, the ball was hit. Furrier grabbed it right at the bag with Freese bearing right down on him, sliding. And as a matter of fact, Freese bumped him as he tagged, as Boyer was tagging third. But he still had time to throw on the first to double up Lawler. No runs, one hit, no errors, and one man left on. At the end of two innings of play, the Yankees, two runs, three hits, no errors, and one left on. The White Sox, no runs, one hit, no errors, and one man left on base. We pause for station identification.
Albany Modern, WOKO 1460, and everybody's radio dial here in the capital city of Albany, New York. From the WOKO newsroom, here's a weather bulletin issued by the United States Weather Bureau in Albany at 8 p.m. A few severe thunderstorms may occur through the interior of southeastern New York between now and midnight, given the 3/4-inch hail and wind gusts.
The Yankees will be home on the night of the 27th with the Los Angeles Dodgers.
New York Yankees, Chicago game.
Bobby Richardson in the leadoff spot. That's bad here in the first of the third. Swings at the first pitch. Gets a fly ball into left field. Minosa goes toward the line, gets under it, and makes the catch and fouls down. One away. Bobby Richardson flies out to Minosa, who crossed the foul line to make the catch. Hector Lopez, who lined out to third in the first inning coming up. Red Sox leading the Indians 3-1 in the five innings. Baltimore nothing. Detroit batting in the first inning. National League, Cubs 3, Cincinnati batting in the first inning. Milwaukee leading the Cardinals 1-0 at the end of the first inning. Billy Pierce to the windup, and the pitch to Lopez in there, strike one. 2-0 New York, first of the third. Now the pitch. Swung on, line to short. The ball dropped by Barrichello, picks it up, throws on the first, and still gets in. Lopez lined at Aparicio, who dropped the ball, rolled a little bit away, but he recovered and still made the play in time to get Lopez. Two down, and here's Mickey Mantle. Flying out to left field in the first inning. Here's into the windup, and the pitch inside, ball one.
1-0 delivery. Mantle cut, fouls it back to the screen. Strike one. Mickey batting right-handed. On the count. Now the pitch. Swung on as a high fly ball into center field. Jim Landis under it and makes the catch. The side's retired. No runs, no hits, no errors, no one left on. At the end of 2.5 innings, New York 2, Chicago nothing. This ought to be a good time right now, it being a warm day in New York, we understand, to enjoy some of that Ballantine beer, the crisp refresher. Ballantine gives you both lightness and flavor, the two things a beer must have to refresh. It's the light beer with true lager flavor. So treat your thirst for the crisp refresher. Make the famous three-ring sign and ask the man for a tall, frosted glass of Ballantine. Ballantine beer. We'll be televising tomorrow afternoon and the doubleheader on Sunday, as well as radioing it to many of the listeners. We do not televise into all the Home of Champions Network territory. The Yankees, after the day game tomorrow, a doubleheader Sunday, move on to Detroit and open up the series with the Tigers next Tuesday night. In the last half of the third, Jim Landis hitting eighth in the order, leads off for the White Sox. Billy Pierce to follow, and then leadoff man Louis Aparicio. Art Dittmar into the windup. The pitch to Landis swung on to high foul off first. Scourin moves over near the barrier and makes the catch. Against the barrier that surrounds the tarpaulin off the field boxes to the right of the Yankee dugout. One down, and Billy Pierce comes out of the dugout. Landis is hitting 226, Pierce 174. I get to laugh. Here down there goes Parker. Art Dittmar delivers to Billy. It's in there for a strike. Pierce is a fair hitting pitcher. Dittmar getting the sign from Howard. Now he asks for it again. Into the windup, and the pitch to Pierce. He starts to bunt. It's in there for a strike. Ball got away from Howard. Two strikes. I don't think he actually went through with his bunting motion. The pitch was in there anyway. No balls, two strikes. Ready? And the pitch is low and inside. A 1-2 count on Billy Pierce. Outfield shallow, shaded toward left and center and left. Straightaway right. Maris a little deeper than the other two outfielders. 2-0 New York, last of the third. The 1-2 pitch to Pierce. He swings on it, grounds it to second. Richardson scoops it up, throws on to Scarron, and they're two away. Two up and two down. Now the leadoff man, Louis Aparicio, grounded out to Boyer in the first inning. Phil Rizzuto will be coming over to sit in with you the rest of the way, starting with the fourth inning as we move over to the TV side, and he comes over to here. Dittmar up over the head twice, and the pitch is low, ball one. A lot of folks operating out of here tomorrow. Chicago broadcast and telecast, our own broadcast and telecast. The 1-0 pitch to Aparicio is in there for a strike. Broadcast by the Mutual Network and telecast by NBC
so he'll be sort of crowded around here tomorrow. The 1-1 pitch to Louis, swung on, grounded to third, and through Boyer, and Aparicio is safe at first. Kubek ran over and backed up. Ball hopped through the legs of Fleet, and he is charged with an error. And that brings up Nelson Fox, hitting 274. He grounded to Boyer in the first inning. Of course, there buys Hollings to Aparicio to steal second. This early in the game, even on the trail, he might try and do that with two outs. Dittmar checks him. Throws to first, and Aparicio's back. Time call. Fox stepped out. Pretty hard to keep Aparicio from the ceiling. There's the stretch. There he goes. The pitch is taken and a throw down, and he's in there with a stolen base. His 16th. Well, everybody in the ballpark knew he might try it, and he did, and he succeeded. That puts Louis in scoring position. One ball, no strikes. Fox the batter. Dittmar to the stretch. And the pitch to Fox is inside. Ball two. 2-0. Count on Fox. Dittmar set. Here's the pitch. Fox swings and grounds it to second. Richardson up with it. Throws to Scowen, and the side is retired. No runs, no hits, one error, and one left on. At the end of three innings, the Yankees 2 runs, 3 hits, 1 error, 1 left on. The White Sox no runs, 1 hit, no errors, and 2 men left on. Fleet Boyer's home run in the second inning with Howard, who singled the board, giving the Yankees their 2-0 lead. There's one beer that delivers both lightness and flavor, and that's Ballantine beer. The light beer with true lager taste. On the Ballantine scoreboard, the Red Sox lead the Indians 3-1 end of the sixth inning. Sullivan and Hawkins. Williams got his 500th homer in the third with one on. Baltimore-Detroit scoreless end of an inning. Walker and Larry. And they're pointing the sign on the scoreboard here about Williams' 500th homer. In the National League, Cubs 3, Cincinnati ready to bat. Grabowski and Newcomb. Milwaukee 1, Cards nothing, end of 2. Brunette and Klein, no report on the Coast game. Now Phil's coming over. We'll see you tomorrow. Hi, everybody. Roger Maris, who flies to center field. And the second inning will be leading off for the Yankees. The Yankees lead 2-0. Foul back, strike one. Yankees scored 2 in the top of the second when Cletus Boyer homered with Elston Howard on base. Billy Pierce, another windup. Pitch to Maris, high inside. Ball one, 1-1. On deck, Elston Howard. The 1-1 pitch is swung at a miss, strike two. Maris went after a slider. Study coaching down at third. Ralph Houck at first. One ball, two strike pitch is inside. Ball two, 2-2. Full house here tonight at Comiskey Park.
getting a little cool and crisp here in Chicago. The wind blowing off the lake. 2-2 pitch is fouled back on the screen. Count holds it 2-2. Here's the windup by Pierce. A ball hit high in the air to short left field. Vinny Minoso is moving in under it and makes the catch, and it's one away. Maris flies out to short left field. That brings up Elston Howard, who got the first base hit of the ball game with one out in the second inning and scored ahead of Boyer's homer. Howard had three of the four hits Bud Daly allowed the Yankees last night down in Kansas City. So Ellie snapping out of a mild slump. He had been 0 for 10 before those three hits. There's a swing and a miss, strike one at a high slider. The Yankees are a full game ahead of the Chicago White Sox. Tied with Cleveland for second place. A game and a half behind Baltimore. Ground ball in the hole out to left field. Another base hit for Howard. Five hits for Howard out of his last six times at bat. And that's the fourth hit off Pierce. And it brings up Bill Skowron, who flied high to left field in the second inning. Stevers not holding Howard close to third base, playing in back of the runner. Here's the stretch by Pierce. Pitch to the Moose, inside, ball one. One away with the Yankees leading 2-0 here in the top of the fourth inning. The stretch, and the pitch is hit down the right field line, but it's curving foul and out of play. Now Smith takes it to the line. Deck, Cletus Boyer. Night is just now falling over the ballpark. It's been very light, very bright up to this inning. A ball popped foul. Lalo chasing it. He can't reach it. It lands on the playing field and bounces into the stands, but it was not hit high enough to allow Lalo time to get there. Moose hit it right off his foot. And there's the ball. Stay shooting up out of the ground. You know, when you're not prepared for that, it scares you. All of a sudden, this hole opens in the ground, and up comes the basket of balls. Umpire grabs a couple of hands full, and down he goes. One ball, two strikes on Starr. And here's the stretch. Howard leads off first. The pitch is in the dirt. Lalo picks it up after throwing off his mask, but Howard didn't go. 2-2 the count. Moose has said many times that he would rather hit a curveball than a fastball. Pierce has been throwing him nothing but curves so far this time at bat. Here's the stretch. Another curve, this one low, and it's a full count on the Moose, 3-2. Howard looks over to Crosetti. Down, of course, doesn't have to look down. He's got to protect the plate with a 3-2 count. And now Peter's moved over to the bag. Elston Howard, figuring that Ellie might be running on a 3-2 pitch. One out. Yankees leading 2-0. Top of the fourth. Pierce steps back off the mound. Now he goes to the rosin bag. Here's the stretch. The pitch is popped in the air to short center field. Landis moving in. And makes the running catch. Howard, who is all the way down to second, has to hustle back to first base. Moose hit that one off his fist. So Pierce kept pushing him inside, and finally got one to pop off his fist. Here's Cletus Boyer, who hit his second home of the year into the left field stands to account for the two Yankee runs. All right, Here's a stretch by Pierce. With two out, the pitch to Boyer is a curve low, ball one. Boyer is now 12 for 50, and of those 12 bases, six have been extra bases, four doubles and two homers. So he's got the power. Eddie Lopez, who managed Boyer down at Richmond a couple of years ago, says he's got as much power to right and right center. He plays regularly. There's a strike, one and one. During spring training, the Yankees worked on sidearm curves from the right-hand pitcher to Boyer. He had a weakness of stepping in the bucket. And while he was playing in the spring, he started hitting good to right. Curve low, ball two, two and one. Something you youngsters should remember: when you're weak on something, work on it. It's the only way you'll get better. On the count, Howard leads off first. The pitch is hit on the ground to the shortstop, Aparicio, over to Fox for the fourth play on Howard. And for the Yankees in the top of the fourth inning, no runs on one hit. No White Sox errors, one man left. The score at the end of 3.5 innings, the Yankees 2 and the White Sox nothing. With the Yankees leading 2-0, the White Sox will send up Minnie Minoso, Roy Sievers, and Gene Free. Minoso bounced out to third in the first inning. Hot hit ball on the mound for the Yankees. Check the sign for Nelson Howard. Here's the windup. The pitch is in there, strike one call. So we've taken that pitch all the way. Wide open stance by Minnie, and that's Crouch. Sidearm curve is hit on the ground, a base hit in the hole out the left field. And also takes a big turn at first base, but Lopez's throw in the second base, and Minnie hustles back. And that's the second hit off Art Dittmar, and it brings up Roy Sievers, who walked in the second inning. First against Minoso. Dittmar steps back off the mound. Minoso has 9 stolen bases. Here's the stretch. The pitch is high, ball one. Minoso didn't have much room to hit that ball between Boyer and Kubek as Tony was playing Minnie in the hole. Outfield deep around towards left on Stevens. Here's the stretch. Pitch is a ground ball up the middle, and out to center field, a base hit, and also around second. Looking for third, and pulls up at third. Runners at first and third now, nobody out. And the batter is Gene Free. Stevens did not hit that ball high, but Kubek was playing Roy in the hole, and it went up the middle. Matter of fact, it stopped before the ball got to Mantle. So Roy Sievers is at first, Minnie Minoso at third, nobody out. The Yankees leading 2-0 in the bottom of the fourth, and the batter is Gene Freeze, who bounced to the shortstop in the second inning. Right hand hitting third baseman. That's pretty good power. Here's the stretch. Pitch is in there, strike four. On deck, Al Smith. Roy receivers leading off first base. Minoso off third. Pitch is pop foul and back out of play. Strike two. Catch the sign from Howard. That's on the mound. Curve popped in the air to the left side in foul territory. Cletus Boyer moving under it and makes the catch. Gene Freeze fouls out the Boyer. Both runners hold. That's one away. And now the batter Al Smith will single to left field in the second inning. A big out for Art Dittmar and the Yankees getting Gene Freeze. Yankee infield back in double play depth with the exception of Starr, who's holding Stevens close at first. The pitch to Smith is high outside, ball one. Field play Smith just about straight away. He hits all fields. On deck is Sherman Lala. Yankees 2, White Sox nothing in the bottom of the fourth. Stevens at first, Minoso at third. This is swung at a miss, strike one, 1-1. It's a side-on curveball. Dittmar into the stretch position. Pitch is popped in the air. Cletus Boyer, the third baseman, coming under it in foul territory, makes the catch. And so, with runners at first and third and nobody out, Art Dittmar got Gene Freeze and Al Smith, two tough hitters, to foul out to the third baseman. And Minnie Minoso came running home as Howard went out to the mound to talk with Dittmar. It was a heads-up play by Minnie. He did not see Howard ask for time. But Howard, I turned around and asked plate umpire Larry Knapp. And Minoso's on the ball. All right, 2 men are out. Here's Sherman Lala, who bounced to the third baseman in the second inning. Slow curve over, strike ball. Low outside, ball one. Howard made a nice backhand stop of a low curve ball. Minoso bluffed coming home, and Howard bluffed to throw back, and Minnie really hustled back to third. 1-1 the count, 2 outs, 2 on. Yankees 2, White Sox nothing. Bottom of the fourth. Here's the stretch by Dittmar. Curve is hit on the ground at third. Boy is up with it. The throw to second, and it's a high throw, and he's safe. He's safe at second as Curtis Boyer throw the ball to first base, decided he'd go to second base, and threw high and pulled Richardson off the bag. That'll be an error charged to Cletus Boyer, his second of the ball game. Minoso scores, and it's now a 2-1 ball game. After Art Dittmar had pitched very well, Boyer is charged with an error, and why Cletus did not go to first base, I'll never know. He had the right idea with a slow runner, Lala, going down. The ball was hit hard. Here's Jim Landis, who popped the first. Popped the ball in the right center field. Mantle moving to his left. Coming under it. Makes the catch. And there is really a tough break for Dittmar. For the White Sox in the bottom of the fourth, one run, two hits, one Yankee error, two men left to score at the end of four innings. The White Sox trailing the Yankees 2-1. And now we pause for station identification.
Radio for the Capital District. This is WOKL. 1460. Everybody's radio dial in the capital city of Albany, New York.
Well, a typical White Sox-Yankee ball game as we go into the top of inning number five, with the Yankees leading 2-1.
Getting back to Boyer's play, one reason maybe why he didn't throw to first base. The Moose was a little late getting over there, so he did get over in time. He didn't start right away. Tony Kubek takes the curve over, strike one call. Not looking for anybody to put the blame on. It's just one of those things that comes up in a ball game. Curve on the outside corner, strike two, nothing in two. Kubek singled off Billy Pierce's glove in the second inning. The Yankees lead, top of the fifth. Here's a two-strike pitch. A liner right at Fox. One away. Boy, that was a solid line drive. Almost took Fox out to left field. Center field, rather. One away, and Art Dittmar coming out of the Yankee dugout. Dittmar struck out swinging in the second inning. One away, nobody on. Dittmar pops the pitch back and into the stands, out of play. One strike on us. Strike pitch is fouled back on the screen, strike two. On deck, Bobby Richardson. Here's the two strike pitch. Low, ball one. One ball, two strikes. Another windup. The left-handed pitch is a serious accidental foul right in the Yankee dugout. Picked off the bat in front of the dugout. Picked up by Ralph Hout. The pitch is a ground ball. App reaches up with him back a second and throw to first in time for the out. And Louie took a base hit away from Art Dittmar. He really floats after that ball. Two ways. Brings up Bobby Richardson. Bounce to short, fly to left. Pierce's pitch to Richardson is taken on the inside corner, strike one. Ball popped out of Lala's glove. The Yankees 2 and the White Sox 1, top of the fifth inning. Two out and nobody on. Slider inside, 1-1 to count. On deck, Hector Lopez. One pitch is a ground ball over Pierce's head and out to center field, a base hit. Not pretty sure Fox couldn't get that one. That's split second base in half. Single to center for Richardson, hit number five off Billy Pierce. And here's Hector Lopez, line to third, bounce to short. Richardson leading off first base. Seaver's holding him on. The stretch by Pierce. The pitch is low, ball one. On deck, Mickey Mantle. There's a stretch by Pez. Serve low, ball two, 2-0. Larry Knapp calling balls and strikes. Pierce goes to the rosin bag. Lopez with a closed stance and severe crouch. Here's a stretch. Go to first base, Bobby Vance. Pierce stretches again. Ball pops in the air to center field. Jim Landis moving under it, waving his arms, and hauls it in for the third out. For the Yankees in the top of the fifth, no runs, one hit. No White Sox errors, one man left. For at the end of 4.5 innings, the Yankees 2 and the White Sox 1.
You've heard it said that the best things in life are free. The sun, the moon, the stars, love, and constructive criticism. What about that family car? Not free, but certainly one of life's best things. A car is a special joy, particularly when it's performing well. Is yours? You know, lots of little things can throw it off. A weak spark plug or a dirty carburetor. Oh, yes, dirt gets in your carburetor, all right. Exhaust fumes and other air particles can escape your air cleaner and collect its deposits along the carburetor walls, causing an improper mixture of air and gasoline. Stalling, rough idling, and gasoline waste are common results. But this problem doesn't have to affect the performance of your car. For today, Atlantic Imperial Gasoline actually cleans your carburetor as you drive and keeps it clean. Feel your engine could use run a little bit smoother? Well, you use Atlantic Imperial Gasoline. It could be the answer.
Leading off for the White Sox in the bottom of the fifth is Billy Pierce, who bounced to second base in the third inning. Hot hit mile on the mound. Yankees 2, White Sox 1. First pitch to Pierce is in there, strike called. Into the windup. Third hit foul down the first baseline, strike two. Nothing in two to count. Here's a two strike pitch, outside, ball one. Yankees scored twice in the second inning on a two-run homer by Boyer. White Sox scored one in the bottom of the fourth. Serve is fouled back in the upper deck. Count holds at one ball and two strikes. Whitmore's pitch is a curve foul back on the screen. Nice catch by one of the fans. Louis Aparicio on deck. Boy, how the Yankees or any team loves to keep him off the bases. Curve hit on the ground to the shortstop. Kubek bobbles the boot, it picks it up, throws to first in time. And Kubek put a little extra on that one. It kicked off his glove, then off his foot. Pierce was running down that line, but it stayed right at Kubek's feet, and he picked it up and fired the scour. And one away, here's Aparicio. Bounced to third and reached on an error by Kubek. Rather by Boyer. Cletus Boyer, usually sure-fingered, has made two errors tonight. Aparicio takes a pitch over strike one call. Boyer has to play in at third. Matt Louis tries to beat it out. Here's the one strike pitch. Ground ball is short. Kubek to Stallings. In time. Boy, Aparicio almost beat that out. Boy, how he can fly down that line. Infielders have to hurry up their throws. Two away.
Here's Nellie Fox. Bounce to third, bounce to second. Two out, nobody on. Third ball is over. Strike one call. Pitch Meyer into the windup. There's a ground ball past Richardson in the center field, a base hit. Mantle's up with it. And Fox takes a big turn. Mantle bluffs the throw to first. Fourth hit off Dittmar, and here comes Vinny Minoso, who bounced to third, spin to the left. He has scored the one White Sox run in the ball game. Minoso now has scored 37 times. He's tied with Aparicio for the team lead and runs score. Fox at first with two outs. 2-1, the Yankees lead. Bottom of the fifth. Curve low, ball one. Minoso leads the White Sox in RBIs with 38. Here's the stretch. Pitch is low, ball two, 2-0. Roy Seavers on deck. Dittmar standing with his hands on his hips out at the mound. A little bit concerned about that last call. Two balls, no strike. Darren holding first base against Nellie Fox. Here's the stretch by Dittmar. Pitch. A strike called on the inside corner, and Minoso didn't like that one. Vinny had started a swing, had a sector swing, but Larry Knapp called it a strike. Remember, Minoso stands so close to the plate that sometimes he ducks away from an inside pitch that has part of the plate. That's how close he is. Two balls, one strike, and two outs. Here's the stretch. Curve is fouled back on the screen. 2-2 the count. Nellie Fox leading off first base. 2-2 pitch. Slow curve. Popped in the air to the infield. Bill Starlin calling for it. And makes the catch between first base and the pitcher's box. For the White Sox in the bottom of the fifth. No runs. One hit. No Yankee errors. One man left. Score at the end of five full innings. The Yankees 2 runs, 5 hits, 2 errors. The White Sox 1 run, 4 hits, and no errors. After this Western trip, the Yankees return to New York to play the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers at Yankee Stadium on Monday night, June the 27th. And this will be your first chance to see such former Dodger favorites as Gil Hodges, Duke Snyder, Charlie Neal, and the highly regarded newcomers like Frank Howard, Norm Locker, and Brooklyn Mike Tom Davis. Before the game, the New York chapter of the Baseball Writers Association will honor 1959 World Series star Larry Sherry when they present him with the Babe Ruth Award as the outstanding player of the last World Series. The Yankee share of the receipts will be turned over to the promotion and development of Sandlot Baseball in the greater New York area, and the Dodgers share also will be designated for charity. There is great interest in this game between all rivals, so we suggest you buy your tickets now.
Sixth inning now. Jack Buck with you from Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles. Tom Haller, who pinch hit for Campanis, goes behind the plate. It's a big game for the Dodgers. They can move into a tie with the Phillies in the National League standing. Phillies are currently seventh, but the Dodgers cannot gain on the Pirates, who are sixth. The Pirates won their game. and the Dodgers are 5 games behind Pittsburgh. So it looks like the first division clubs are going to be St. Louis, San Francisco, Cincinnati, Chicago, and Atlanta. Although the Pirates still have a chance to catch the Braves. The leadoff hitter for the Cardinals is Joe Haig. He's still looking for his first big league hit. Behind Juan Marichal, the Giants lead Atlanta 8-0. George Stone, who had been pitching very well for the Braves, not doing so well tonight. Haig with a long fly ball to right. Might be gone. Joe Haig has a home run for his first big league hit. Joe Haig, who blasted 23 at Tulsa, pops one out of here, ties the game 4-4 in the sixth inning, steps on the plate, and his first major league hit was a home run beyond the 370 mark, and his teammates greet him in the Cardinal dugout. And he's a happy young man. Previously in this game, he popped out, grounded out, but now he homers. And the home run by Brock in the fifth, and now the home run by Haig ties the game, and the batter Spezio, fly ball, short right center, is going to drop for a hit. A base hit for Spezio. And the Cardinals have the lead run on. And the Dodger bullpen goes to work in a hurry. Spezio swung from the heels, hit it off the end of the bat, and dropped a single into right center. Singer previously had allowed 10 home runs. Now Brock and Haig have gotten to him. The batter is Gagliano. Strike one. A 4-4 ball game in the sixth inning. The runner is going. Gagliano tried to bunt, missed the throw. Spezio's safe. And now he starts to go to second base, but returns. Starts to go to third. Spezio steals a base. It was a run and bunt play. Gagliano missed the ball. Spezio stole second as Haller threw the ball into the dirt. So the Cardinals have the lead run at second base. Joe Haig joins a list of quite a few players whose first big league hit was a home run. Gagliano swings, grounds it sharply to second. The runner goes to third, and Schofield is out at first. From Shirley to Boyer, two out. Ricketts walks toward the plate. McCarver has a batting helmet on, and he's selected a bat to see who he's going to bat for. Runner now at third. That's the lead run with two out. Ricketts is going to bat for himself. Ball wind up by Singer in the pitch. And a bouncing ball to deep short. A long throw. He is out. The inning is over. Popovich throws him out. The Cardinals get only one run. On the home run by Joe Haig.
Let's see if Ron Willis goes back to the mound.
Willis will still be pitching. And the score is now the Cardinals 4 and the Dodgers 4.
Nowadays, we hear a lot of talk about how tight money is. As if anyone had to remind us how tight you have to be with a buck sometimes just to try to make ends meet. Well, even if you have a few extra coins to jingle, you know, unexpected money problems do crop up, like doctor bills, car repairs, or the kids outgrowing those shoes. And there goes your spare cash. So if you're in need of a loan right now, call GMC and ask for friendly Bob Adams. The phone number, Main 14242. Bob and his GMC loan-by-phone teammates will help you handle your temporary cash needs with loans as little as $25 or as big as $2,000. So call friendly Bob Adams tomorrow, Main 14242, and you can pick up the loan at your neighborhood GMC office in Belleville, where you can borrow up to $5,000 by calling Adams 36511. That's Adams 36511. Remember, when you deal with GMC, there's no such thing as tight money. The GFC Loan Company.
We go to the home half of the sixth inning here in Los Angeles, and I see that Ted Simmons, the young catcher up from Modesto, is warming up Ron Willis. Red has indicated that he might catch Simmons tomorrow. His first big league game. Simmons' throw down to second base went into the outfield. Well, let me see it. 9:53, 11:53. St. Louis, you have 7 more minutes to get your World Series ticket order postmarked. Right? You knew that all along, didn't you? Friday only. must be postmarked Friday, September 20th. Orders postmarked before Friday, September 20th will not be accepted, of course.
Sure.
Yeah, we hope you get what you want. Cardinals making every possible effort to come about with an equitable distribution of ducats for the Fall Classic, as they say. Here's Shirley leading off, punting the ball foul. Bart Shirley trying to punt his way on against Fizio, who's playing third. Foul the ball. He's hitting in the number eight spot. People at this ballpark are great for throwing airplanes out of the upper deck paper airplanes. The pitch and a bouncing ball near the bag at second, fielded by Gagliano. The throw, out, a dandy play by Gagliano and Joe Hay. Gagliano came in from a deep second base, fielded the ball while on the run, flipped underhanded. And Joe Hay, who's a left-handed thrower, by the way, reached out, grabbed the ball for the out. One gone in the sixth inning. Cardinals have made some outstanding fielding plays here tonight. The batter is Singer. This kid's a pretty good hitter, but nothing doing tonight. 0 for 2. He tried to bunt. Missed. Strike one. Singer and the pitch. 1-1 as the pitch goes low. Well, it's too bad the Cardinals didn't score another run in the sixth inning. That would have given Ron Willis a chance at a victory. They might do so in the seventh if Ron holds them here and he could be a winner. Low, ball two, 2-1. One out, nobody on. Sixth inning, ball game tied, four off. Rock and Haig have homered for the Redbirds. Imagine you'll see some of Joe Hague. Pitch goes inside, ball three. You'll see some of Hague when the Cardinals play at home next week. Tuesday and Wednesday nights, Friday night, Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon. First the Phillies, then Houston. Strike call, 3-2. 17,888 here tonight. A lot of them lured by the presence of the Cardinals. The pitch is high, Singer walks. And that's four walks by Willis here in relief. Willis walked the pitcher. Wes Parker is the batter. He's had a great night. He lined out to right. He doubled and drove in a run. He also walked and he made a brilliant catch in left field. Switch hitter batting left-handed. Singer at first, one out. A lead by the runner, the pitch to Parker. Base hit to right field. Singer makes the turn at second. Cullen could throw him out. Cullen's throw is on the money, but he's safe. And the other runner goes down to second. Went from first to third. Coleman took a little time getting rid of the ball, then made a strong throw right on the button. With the left-handed batter Willie Davis coming up, the Cardinals have a pitcher in the bullpen. Mel Nelson was warming up. All four Dodger runs scored thus far in the game, charged to Steve Carlton, the starter. Willis pitched 3 2/3 innings. He's allowed no runs, but leaves men at second and third with one out. The base hit by Parker was the only hit off of Willis, who had four strikeouts, but also walked four men. And he walked the pitcher in this inning. He'd go to jail for something like that. And in out of the right field bullpen comes Mel Nelson. We're going to pause for identification as the relief pitcher gets ready. He's the third Cardinal pitcher of the night. Carlton, Willis, and now Nelson. And this is the Cardinals Baseball Network.
Okay, Mike Single is here's victory news from Panda Paint.
Now Victory Easy On Latex Wall Paint in 20 colors in white. Regular $3.99, not just $2.99 a gallon. Save a dollar a gallon now at your Panda Victory paint dealer. 1 minute past midnight.
Rex Davies brings Johnny Edwards in out of the bullpen. And he has him batting ninth. Ricketts is out of the ballgame. He had one for three while he was in there. And Mel Nelson, the relief pitcher, is inserted into the number eight spot in the batting order. So Edwards will lead off in the Cardinals' seventh inning. What will the score be? It's 4-4 now. And the Dodgers have a great chance to add to that score. The Cardinal infield is in on the left side, deep on the right side. And Willie Davis, who has struck out once in the ballgame and singled once, is at the plate. 1-for-3. Full windup by Mel Nelson. There's a high fly ball to right. That'll get a run all. Going to be caught by Tolan near the line. Singer tags up. And both runners advance as Tolan throws into second base. That makes the score 5-4, and the Dodgers lead. The runners charge to Willie. A sacrifice fly for Willie Davis. That's only his 30th run batted in of the year. Parker went from second to third as Singer scored. Dodgers lead 5-4, and the batter is Bill Sudeikis. Rookie third baseman has the double tonight. He also walked. 17,888 paid here tonight. They've seen a lot of action. In a long game, which is now 2 hours old. But that's all right. Parker, the runner at third with two out. Two strikes on the hitter. The pitch is grounded to third to Spezio. Eddie has it and throws it to first. He's out. As Joe Haig danced to the backside of the bag to take the throw. 5-3 to end the inning. One run, one hit. No errors, one walk, one left. The Dodgers have stranded seven. At the end of six, they lead the Cardinals 5-4.
You know, a lot of people think the only right time to borrow money is when they're saddled with a lot of unexpected bills. Now, that simply isn't true. The people at GFC, like friendly Bob Adams, your loan by phone specialist, have helped hundreds of your friends and neighbors with loans for useful purposes, loans that save the family money in the long run. Such a loan might be for refinancing the family's indebtedness, reducing big monthly payments down to a manageable size. So if you're a little short of cash because of high monthly car payments or personal debts, call friendly Bob at Main 1-4242. He and his GFC teammates will be happy to help you loosen up that tight budget. For a loan of $25 to $2,000, call tomorrow, Main 1-4242. Bob will start arrangements so you can pick up your money with the least possible delay at your GFC office. In Granite City, where you can borrow up to $5,000 by calling Triangle 76666. At GFC, your money needs are their business. That's Main 1-4242, the GFC Loan Company.
This ballgame... This here ball game goes into the seventh inning. This here now ball game goes into the seventh inning now. And it's 5-4 Dodgers. With Edwards leading off, Brock and Davis to follow. Bill Singer on the mound for the Dodgers. He's gone all the way. Have you ever been a guest at the world's biggest brewery? Anheuser-Busch, right in St. Louis. Don't worry about red tape. It's very simple. Place is south on Broadway at Pestalozzi Street. The time, 9:30 in the morning to 3:15 in the afternoon, any day but Sunday. Guided tours all day long. Ending up in our hospitality Rascaler with your choice of Busch, Michelob, or Budweiser. All you have to do is show up and enjoy it very much. Johnny Edwards, who appeared in the ballgame in the last half inning, batting in the number nine spot, leads off, first pitch, ball one. The pitch, up the middle, and a base hit into center field for Johnny Edwards. Singer took a swipe at that ball and missed it. It bounced down through into center field for a leadoff hit. Cardinals about hit the Dodgers, 9-8. Lou Brock is the batter, and the Dodger bullpen is again busy. Left-hander
is warming up. Tom Haller, the catcher, goes to the mound to talk to Singer. That gives the bullpen hurler more time. Edwards and the Cardinal coach, Dick Sisler, talk it over. Ken Boyer playing first base, eavesdropping. Singer took a couple of practice pitches. The ball deflected off his bare hand. He's all right. Here's Lou Brock. He singled, stole a base, and scored. He singled again. Then he homered in the fifth, his first home run since the 28th of June. That's the tying run at first with nobody out. Brock trying for his fourth hit of the night. Strike call. Sudeikis coming in at third, but Brock gave no indication of bunting. Edwards a short lead. Lou Brock takes it on the outside corner, strike two, and strolls away from the plate. Didn't like the call. Lou seldom gives the umpires any heat. Strike two the count. His hits tonight put Lou over the 280 mark. Roger Maris is swinging a bat down in the Cardinal dugout. A lead by Edwards. Brock strikes out. Lou Brock takes a high pitch and fan. Seven strikeout for Singer. The first time he's retired Lou. Ron Davis, who has struck out three times, is called back. And Roger Maris comes out to hit here in the seventh inning. Roger making his last swing around the National League cities.
For Davis. Number nine.
Most as he comes to the plate, booed by a few because he broke Babe Ruth's record. Comes to the plate with a tying run at first and one out. Maris' last home run came in Houston. He has five for the year. A lead by Edwards. The pitch from Singer, outside and low, ball one. Top of the seventh inning, and the Cardinals need a run to get back in. Ron Willis stands to be the loser if the score stays as is. Maris grounded into left field. A base hit for Maris. Edwards will stop at second base as Roger came off the bench and singled sharply into left field. Two on, one out. Walter Alston comes out of the Dodger dugout with Bobby Tolan due up. He may make a move and bring in the left-hander Jim Brewer out of the bullpen. 10 hits off of Singer now. Orlando Cepeda picks out a bat. I bet Chaney's wishes he had a bench like that every night. Carver, Edwards, Cepeda, Flood, Maris, Maxville, Javier. New pitcher for the Dodgers, and so both starters depart from this game.
Coming in
Jim Brewer coming in. This guy is a real workhorse for Los Angeles. He has a record of 7-3. In addition, he has saved 9 games. Thus, he's been involved in 16 Dodger wins. And this is the 51st time he has appeared this season. Jim Brewer into the ballgame, and Bill Singer leads. Singer pitched 6 1/3 innings, allowed 4 runs, and leaves 2 men on. He allowed 10 hits. He struck out 7, and he walked 1. The evening. evening with a record of 12-15. He could be the winner. He also stands a chance of being the loser if the Cardinals score these two men here in the seventh inning. Edwards at second, Maris at first. Maris and Boyer visiting down there. And Kurt Flood is going to be the pinch hitter for Bob Tolan. So Red wanted to arrest some of his fellas tonight, but didn't turn out that way. He has an obligation of, one, trying to keep the ball club in a winning frame of mind, and two, to try to his best to determine the finish for the second division ball club, i.e. the Dodgers, the Phillies, the Pirates, and the Mets, who, by the way, won a doubleheader tonight. It was announced earlier this evening that Walter Alston, the manager of the Dodgers, will be back next year. And that'll be his 16th season managing the Dodgers. Kurt Flood batting for Bob Tolan. Tolan had two out of three while he was in there. A couple of singles, two runs batted in, and he also lined out to left. Flood needs a hit. He takes a strike. Left-hander Jim Brewer on the mound. In the seventh inning, and the Cardinals trail 5-4. They have the tying run at second, the lead run at first. Outfield about straight away for Kurt. He takes it up. Ball one. 1-1. The pitch from Brewer on the way to Flood, and a screwball is fouled back. You can see that ball really move as it approached the plate. Breaking away from the right-handed hitter, it's one ball, two strikes. Brewer trying to save it for Bill Singer. And a strike called, and Flood is called out on strike. Flood really moaning about the call. The pitch was down around the knees. Telekutis called him out, and that is the second out of the inning. Flood unhappily strolls away from the plate, and Haig will bat for himself. Two on, two out. Edwards started the inning with a single. Brock struck out. Maris singled. Singer left. Brewer came in. Fan Flood pitches to Haig. Joe popped to third, grounded to second, and then got his first big league hit in the sixth inning. And it was a home run into the seats and right. Hitting against the left-hander now. He takes the ball. Haig needs a hit to tie it up, an extra base hit to put the Cardinals out in front. A check on the runners and the pitch to the plate. Curveball, fly ball, short right. It's going to be caught by Savage. He has it. The inning is over. Haig flying to right. And the Cardinals fail to catch the Dodgers in the seventh inning. No runs, two hits, no errors, and two left. The Cardinals have left six. The Dodgers have left seven. And it's seventh inning stretch time for the crowd of 17,888. The score with the Dodgers coming to bat in the seventh inning is Los Angeles 5 and the Cardinals 4.
Consider the bubble. As elusive and insignificant as it may appear, it's very important when it comes to brewing beer. Bubbles give beer its life. Bubbles give beer its sparkle. When a bubble dances to the top of the glass and bursts, it releases flavor. Let a beer go flat, and the flavor goes flat. It stands to reason that a beer with better bubbles will be a better beer. The bubbles in Busch are in brew, slowly and naturally. Busch is the only popular priced beer in America with in-brewed carbonation. It makes a smoother, better-tasting beer for you. Busch, the best popular priced beer in America. And we can prove it.
Mel Nelson is on the mound for the Cardinals. He finished up in the sixth inning. Kurt Flood goes into center field, replacing Ron Davis, and Roger Maris goes into right, replacing Bob Tolan. Johnny Edwards, who took over behind the plate in the last inning, is catching Nelson, and the leadoff hitter is Ken Boyer. Boyer's 1-for-3 tonight, a single and a run batted in. Left-handed pitcher, right-handed batter, low ball one. We're the Dodgers 7. Cardinals led it one time in the first inning. Tied the game in the 6th, but trail now 5-4. Boyer takes ball 2 outside. Nelson is the 3rd Cardinal pitcher. 4 runs off of Carlton and 1 off of Ron Willis. Willis will be the loser unless the Cardinals catch them again. Nelson pitching to Boyer, Savage and Popovich will follow. Ground ball to short, big hop to Schofield. Over to Hague, 1 out. Boyer's 1-for-4 as he grounds out to start the 7th inning. Ted Savage is up. He's singled, struck out, and walked. Cardinals have out-hit the Dodgers, 10-8 in the game. Dodgers have made the game's only misplay. It did not figure into the scoring. Dodgers came up with 3 runs in the 2nd inning. Really pounded Steve Carlton. Carlton pitched less than 2 innings, gave up 4 runs and 7 hits. Savage takes a ball. A paper airplane floats from the upper deck down to the playing field. A big hand for the paper airplane. Savage waiting. He went around on a bad ball inside. That makes it 1-1. Danny Ozark coaching at third base, where Preston Gomez used to be. Gomez will manage San Diego next year. Jim Gilliam is the first base coach. Savage takes a ball. The Dodgers announced today that they've hired Dixie Walker as a hitting coach. There's a swing and a foul at the feet of the catcher, Edwards. 2-2 to Ted Savage. Cardinals have the edge over the Dodgers for the year, 9-6. This 3-game series will end it between the two. Play here again tomorrow afternoon. Ted Savage fouls another ball out of play, and that makes it 2-2. Jaster will be the Cardinal pitcher tomorrow against Claude Osteen. Sunday, Don Sutton against Bob Gibson. A swing and a miss and a curveball got Ted Savage as he chased a bad ball inside. Noel Nelson has retired 4 in a row. 2 out in the inning and the hitter Popovich. This Nelson might figure a bit in the World Series. He probably has been the best long relief man the Cardinals have had on their pitching staff. Popovich is up looking for his first hit. He swings and misses. The Cardinals in the 8th. Send up Spezio, Gagliano, and Schofield. There's a tap back to the mound. Nelson has to wait for it, then throw. He's out. The inning is over. Nelson sets them down in order. He's retired 5 in a row, and at the end of 7 innings, the score is still the Dodgers 5 and the Cardinals 4.
If you're a choosy tire buyer, buy your tires where you get the best choice. The wide selection of values at your BF Goodrich store will be available for just one more week. Simply find the tire that fits your kind of driving, and you'll find a price that fits well with your budget. Tires for smaller cars, medium cars, larger cars. Tires for small budgets, medium budgets, larger budgets. BF Goodrich, tough, long mileage tires for safer, low-cost driving. And while you're saving on tires, save on time as well. Now, for a limited time only, you can pick up a West Clox Tour Alarm 2 alarm clock for only $2.99. An outstanding value. So if you're a choosy tire buyer, hurry down and make your choice.
13 convenient BF Goodrich locations in Greater St. Louis. In Overland, see Floyd's Auto and Home at 8644 St. Charles Rock Road. And ask for Jack Bordeaux.
station identification. It's the Cardinal Baseball Network.
KMOX St. Louis, it's time to get the Pontiac you've always wanted. Barton's bargains are irresistible. See Barton Pontiac, 9001 West Florissant, St. Louis County's largest Pontiac dealer. 1227.
Carry at Dodgers Stadium. Eddie Spezio leads it off now in the eighth inning. Cardinals trail by a run. First pitch is in there, a strike call. Jim Brewer, who's done a great job all year long in relief. He's won seven, he's lost three, and he has saved nine. Now the pitch. There's a ground ball to the shortstop. Up, fumbles it, and Fizio is safe. An error on Popovich. Well, there's a break to start the eighth. Fizio's ground ball hit over near second base. Hit only medium speed. Was fumbled by Paul Popovich. Here's Gagliano now with a runner at first and nobody out. That's a tying run over there. Dick Schofield will be next. Jim Brewer getting ready. The pitch, he's going to bunt. Bunt's foul for a strike. One strike and no ball. The Tigers won their ninth in a row tonight. Their 100th game of the season. 17,888 paid here this evening. It'll be Ladies' Day here tomorrow. The game will be televised nationally. And it'll be Claude Osteen against Larry Jaster. Now the pitch. There goes the runner. There's the play. They're going to get him, maybe. He's easily out. Apparently, that was supposed to be a hit and run. And Spezio, who represented a tying run, was thrown out 20 feet. One ball, one strike now on Gagliano. Here's the pitch. A bouncing ball to the third baseman. Nice play. Sudeikis throws. He's out. Beautiful play. Boy, Sudeikis charged that ball, fielded on the short hop right on the bag, and threw off balance across the diamond. That kid looks like quite a ball player. He's going to be around a long time. Bill Sudeikis from Joliet, Illinois. Here's Schofield. He'll hit right-handed against Jim Brewer. The pitch. And it's a curveball. Low and inside. Johnny Edwards stayed in the ballgame after pinch hitting, and so did Roger Maris. Now the pitch swung. There's a long drive. Way back. Might be out of here. He's got a chance near the wall. It's curving. It's a foul ball. 5 inches. Listen to the crowd. That missed the yellow pole no more than an inch. And the third base umpire, Shag Crawford, was down the line, keeping a close perspective on it. Just barely to the foul side. Naturally, if it hits a foul pole, it's a home run. Very low fence out there, too, by the way. One ball, one strike on Schofield. Here's Jim Brewer getting ready. The pitch. He swung and he missed a bad ball. Two strikes and a ball. Schofield lined to left, walked and bounced out. Two strikes and a ball. Right-handed hitter digging in. Now the pitch. He struck him out as he threw his bat. Schofield goes down swinging. No hits, no runs. One air, nobody left. We go on the bottom of the eighth. The Dodgers 5, the Cardinals 4.
The motor oil you put in your car's engine is very important. A lot more important than keeping the oil level above the add one quart line. You see, a good motor oil should do many things, such as exceed all car manufacturers' specifications, meet new car warranty requirements, improve mileage and acceleration. Your motor oil should also give better protection at higher operating temperatures, have the features of a heavy 40-weight oil with the easier starting quality of a 10-weight, be suited for all types of driving, interstate or city, and to top it all off, sell for a reasonable price. Now, that's a lot to ask of one motor oil. But there is one that does all of these things. It's new DX Distance Supreme, an entirely new, improved motor oil developed especially to meet the demands of today's tougher car engines. Get new DX Distance Supreme 10W40 motor oil from Sunray DX, the oil company known by the customers we keep.
We go to the bottom half of the eighth inning, 5-4 in favor of the Dodgers, who've been out hit 10-8. The Dodgers have made two errors, 8 hits, 5 runs. The Cardinals, no errors, 10 hits, but only 4 runs. And like that, among the 10 hits, the Cardinals have had 2 homers. But still, they trail by a run. Here's Tom Hammer to lead it off. Jim Campanis started. Now the pitch by Mel Nelson, swung on, popped up, short center, Gagliano going out, falling for the ball, and makes the catch. Haller on the first pitch, popped to Gagliano. Tom Haller, who used to be with the Giants, is the leading hitter of the Dodgers with a .290 average. And he leads his team and runs batted in with 49. There's Bart Shirley, the second baseman. He's had 1 out of 3. All the damage in this game was done against Steve Carlton. He allowed 4 runs in the first 2 innings before Ron Willis came in to stop them in the second. And yet Carlton will not be the loser. Here's the pitch. Swung and foul back. The Cardinal relief pitching has allowed him only 1 run in the next 6 innings. Carlton allowed 4 runs in less than 2 innings. Yet, because the Cardinals came back to tie, the 1 run which was charged to Ron Willis would make him the loser at this moment. Here's a pitch to Shirley, and it's high. That, of course, is one of those inconsistencies of scoring that are hard to justify, but that's the way they are. 2 strikes and the ball to pitch to Shirley. A bouncing ball to Spezio. In fast, he throws in time for the out. From Spezio to Haig. Joe Haig making his major league debut. Has certainly been impressive enough. His first big league hit was a home run that tied the game in the sixth. Here's Jim Brewer now, the pitcher. 2 out and nobody on. Nelson is retired, 7 in a row. The pitch, swung on, ground ball. Spezio's got it, hop, skip, and throw. Brewer is out. So it's 1-2-3, nothing across. At the end of 8, the Dodgers 5, the Cardinals 4.
Every time you open a bottle of Busch, you open up a whole world of pleasure. Busch is the best popular priced beer in America, and we can prove it. Visit the Anheuser-Busch Brewery and see for yourself the extra pains we take to give Busch its creamy head, its sparkling clarity, its full, fresh flavor. Busch, the best popular priced beer in America, and we can prove it.
Top of the ninth, Orlando Cepeda is going to lead it off as a pinch hitter. He'll be batting for the pitcher, Mel Nelson. Nelson certainly did his job. He relieved 3 2/3 innings, or rather 2 2/3 innings. And he retired 8 men in a row. One of the many retired in a sacrifice fly that accounted for the lead run. University of Miami in college football beat Northwestern 28-7 tonight in Miami. All right, here's Cepeda getting a big hand from the crowd. Cardinals trail by a run, we're in the ninth. Cepeda hitting 248. First pitch by Brewer. It's a fastball, low and outside. Cepeda's had 16 homers, 70 runs batted in. He has stolen 8 bases, by the way. Right-hand hitter digging in. One ball, no strikes. Here's Brewer getting set. The pitch to Cepeda. It's high, ball two. 2 balls, no strikes. Cardinals trailing by a run. The last chance here in the ninth. Jim Brewer delivers. Strike, a slider caught the inside corner. And the count, 2 balls and a strike. Cepeda waits. The outfield deep. Brewer's pitch. Bouncing ball. Sudeikis can't reach it. Popovich does and throws him out. From deep short. Good play by Paul Popovich. Here's Johnny Edwards, the catcher. He singled in the seventh. It's 5-4. In favor of the Dodgers, who can move into a seventh place tie with a victory. Now the pitch, and it's a slider outside. That might not sound like anything, but just a couple of weeks ago, they were dead last. Now we'll tie the Phillies for seventh. Here's a pitch swung on. Foul ball out of play. Into the left field corner, evens it up. The Phillies and the Dodgers each will have won 72 and lost 83. Now the pitch. Outside. Ball two. 2 balls and a strike. Johnny Edwards up there. 1 out in the ninth. Cardinals trailing 5-4. Here's Brewer getting set. The pitch. Popped up. In the short center. Surely the second baseman is there. And he has it. Edwards pops to Shirley. That's 2 out, and here's Lubrock, who homered in the fifth. Brock has had 3 out of 4 tonight. Stole a base. Single twice and homer. Struck out his last time up. Signal given. Singer would still be the winner in this game. Now the windup and the fifth. It's a strike, a curveball. One strike, no ball. Jim Brewer with another sterling relief job. Now the pitch, sidearm fastball low. That evens it up, a ball and a strike. Maris will be up there next. Brewer hasn't allowed a hit. The only base runner against him, safe on an air. Jim Brewer ready. Has this sign. Pitches now to Brock. Here it is. There's a long drive, center field. Willie Davis back. He's there. Dodgers win. 5-4. As Brock flies deep to Davis at the warning track in left center. And Jim Brewer, tremendous job in relief. And Bill Singer picks up the victory. And the Dodgers edge the Cardinals 5-4. We'll be back with the totals in a moment.
You've all heard the saying, money can't buy everything. But just the same, there are plenty of necessary things in life it will buy. And the folks at GFC, like Bob Adams, your friendly loan-by-phone specialist, are old pros at helping you stay on your financial feet when the going gets rough. So if you've got money problems that only money can solve, like unexpected medical bills, a family car that refuses to run, or maybe new school clothes for the kids, just call friendly Bob Adams at Maine 14242. Bob and his GFC teammates will help you out with loans ranging anywhere from $25 to $2,000. So call Bob tomorrow at Maine 14242, and you can pick up your money at your convenience at your GFC office. in Granite City, where you can borrow up to $5,000 by calling Triangle 76666. Remember, Friendly Bob at Main 14242, the GFC Loan Company. What you need to things that money can buy.
The Los Angeles Dodgers, who have won 13 out of 17 since September the 3rd, moving into a seventh-place tie by knocking off the pennant-winning St. Louis Cardinals 5-4. Five runs, eight hits, two errors for the Dodgers. Bill Singer is credited with the victory. He has won 13 and lost 15. For the Cardinals, four runs, 10 hits, no errors. Ron Willis is the loser. He now has 1-2, lost 3. Time of the ballgame, 2 hours and 42 minutes. This is one of those games where the pitcher who did all the damage, had all the damage done against him, doesn't get charged with the defeat. Carlton was KO'd, allowed 4 runs in the first inning and 2/3. Willis came on and did a fine job, allowing only one hit in 3 2/3 innings. But that one hit led to the run to put the Dodgers ahead, and thus Willis was the loser. Then Nelson came on and pitched 2 2/3 perfect innings, retiring 8 men in a row. But the damage had been done. The game was marked by the first home run in the Major League career of Joe Haig, playing his first game at first base. He homered tonight against Bill Singer. So that's it. Now, tomorrow afternoon, we'll be on the air. The game will be nationally televised, including St. Louis. We'll be on the air with the dugout show at 3 o'clock tomorrow. It is a 1:15 game here in Los Angeles, which will be 3:15 St. Louis time. My dugout interview will be heard over these stations at 3 o'clock Central Daylight Time. This broadcast was authorized. By the way, Jack will have all the other baseball scores coming up for you over most of these stations in a moment. Following that, locally, we'll present an interview with Wes Parker, who is one of the stars in the Dodgers' victory here tonight. This broadcast authorized under rights granted by the St. Louis National Baseball Club, solely for the entertainment of our listening audience. Any publication, rebroadcast, or other use of the description and account of this game without the express consent of the St. Louis National Baseball Club Incorporated is prohibited. Now, to the future of the Bad Bat Show in a few minutes, speaking for our engineer, Ed Dayton, our producer, our chief, Frank Lackbeck, this is Harry Carey wishing you all a very pleasant good evening. From Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles, where 17,888 paid to see the Dodgers continue their fine play of late, edging the St. Louis Cardinals 5-4. See you later. So long, everybody.
St. Louis Cardinals baseball. Has been brought to you by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Michelob, Budweiser, and Busch.
Visit our St. Louis brewery and see what makes them America's first family of beers. And by the GFC Loan Company. You can borrow from $25 to $2,000 with a phone call to Bob Adams. And by Sunray DX Oil Company and your DX dealer, who prove to you why Sunray DX is the oil company known by the customers we keep. Brought to you through the facilities of KMOX and Sports Network Incorporated.
You tune to KMOX, the sports voice of Mid-America.
Depend on the pro who knows, the man from General American.
He knows how important it is for a young man on his way up in the business world to protect his family in case something should happen to him. General American Life has tailor-made programs, especially with the young professional's future in mind. They can buy large dollar amounts of low-cost temporary life insurance to fit their present income.
Before do know from the General American Pro.
As income grows, this coverage can be converted to permanent insurance with increasing cash value. The General American Pro can help you evaluate your needs and help you determine how much insurance is enough for you.
Depend on the pro who knows, the man from General American.
Get to know a General American pro like Richard Rosenthal. Contact him at Garfield 10404.
If you haven't been to the Clayton Inn restaurant for a while, you're in for a real treat. An all-new menu features savory dishes such as beef stroganoff, broiled lobster tails, and roast duckling. And the service is superb. A new late supper menu has just been added for that snack after the game or theater. In fact, they're open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day. The Clayton Inn restaurant has just been redecorated, and the pleasant atmosphere will add to the enjoyment of your meal. Next time you're going out to eat, remember the Clayton Inn restaurant at the beautiful Clayton Inn, the elegant hotel in Clayton.
Harry Carey. Hello again, everybody. Harry Carey from down on the field here at Dodger Stadium to present our star of the game, and he will be left fielder, first baseman, Wes Parker of the Los Angeles Dodgers. He's over there with Jerry Doggett on the Los Angeles program on their star of the game at the moment. Be over here in just a couple of seconds. Wes is a sparkling first baseman and also plays a tremendous outfield. Tonight he played in left field, got a big double that drove in a run in the three-run second inning, and then it was his base hit in the right field that actually set up the winning run a little bit later on in the bottom of the sixth. The Dodgers have been red hot. They've won 13 out of the last 17 ball games, and they've done it all with a bunch of kids playing, and I guess they're probably wondering why they didn't do it earlier. But it's pretty hard to evaluate and to judge as to ball games that are played at this time of the year. The incentives, of course, aren't the same as they were earlier when everybody was more or less in the race. And this, of course, always has to be taken into consideration. Here's Wes coming over here now, a fine young man and an outstanding ball player. He's having himself a busy evening all night long. Wes, congratulations on another fine ball game.
Another fine ball game.
Well, every time I see you, you're playing well.
Well, I've had my problems, but tonight was certainly gratifying.
You switched from first base to left field. Does that bother you in any way?
It did at the start, Harry, but I've been doing it all year now, and I think I've gotten used to it. But it certainly does bother you for a while.
I was wondering whether what effect it might have on your hitting, because concentration is such an important thing there. You know, not knowing where you're going to play, what it might do to you.
This is true. I would say, though, that I would hit better probably in the outfield, because there's less to think about and less to be concerned about.
You're a funny hitter to analyze. When we see you, you hit line drive, you hit the ball wherever it's pitched, you look like a real good hitter, and then you look at your average and it's down. What happened?
Harry, it's a real good question. I think it's just a matter of being a kind of a streak hitter, and you probably caught me when I'm having my good streaks. Now, the Cincinnati Reds were in here last night, and Popovich had a great series for three games against them. And Bristol said in the paper, the Reds manager, that to him, Paul Popovich is an all-star shortstop because this guy plays great ball against the Reds. And I just wish I could play against the rest of the league like I've done a few times against you.
Yeah. It's been a disappointing year for the Dodgers, and yet now, the last couple of weeks, I think you've won something like 13 out of your last 17.
Yes, we have. We've done real well, Harry, lately, and it is gratifying. Of course, it has been a disappointing season, but this is kind of taking this thing out of it, at least for now. And naturally, next year we would hope to come back and maybe unseat you fellas a little bit.